everybody. Welcome back to the Fuel Church Podcast. We're so excited that you're joining us today. We want to thank all of you that give generously to this ministry. It's because of your giving that this ministry is possible. To give, you can visit us at thefuelchurch.com. We hope this message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Hey, you ready for the word today? All right, here we go. I got a question for you. Do you need a breakthrough? I said, do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a breakthrough? I believe all of us need breakthroughs in our lives, right? All of us sense that need in our lives. And we all have seasons of our lives where we have sown the seed of God's word. We've tended to it with faith and patience. And we know that a harvest time is near. We even perceive in our spirits that this is our due season. It has come. It's time for us to enjoy the fruit of our faith. It's time for us to move into new phases of God's plan for our lives. Yet at times, nothing seems to happen. At times, we feel dry. At times, we feel like God moved away and never left us a forwarding address. At times, we feel like God is silent. So what do? We keep waiting month after month, year after year. We keep wondering what is holding us back. We keep on watching for the breakthroughs that we so desperately need in our lives. But the fact is, it's not enough to just wait. It's not enough to just wonder and watch. Many times, there's something we must do. We must do. There are actions we must take to bring forth those God-ordained plans and promotions and breakthroughs that are so long overdue. You see, God is waiting to give us the breakthrough we so desperately need and desire. He's waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to seek. He's waiting for us to surrender our worries, our fears to Him, to accept we can't do it on our own. So last week we talked about the power of our thoughts and how our thought life is so important. Another area found in God's word throughout the Old and New Testament that God was very big on was the power of our words. Today I want to talk to you about the power of your words, because our thoughts become words and our words become actions. They become actions and words matter. Someone say words matter. Words matter. God gave us a mind to think and a mouth to speak. Two very important things in the believer's life, the mind and the mouth. And if you don't learn to control those two things, I've found in my life a lot of times I hold back the breakthroughs that God desires to give me because of the words that I speak. Because of the words that I speak. And the Bible has a lot to say about words and how that they are directly connected to the life that we live, not only the life we currently live, but the future that we are going to walk in. So I want to go to this scripture, Proverbs 6:2. We're going to go to Proverbs a lot today, and Solomon talked a lot about the power of our words. And check this out. It says this, "You have been trapped by what you," what does he say? "You have been trapped by what you," ensnared by what? We set our own trap. Have you ever set your own trap and then blamed God? Blame the church? Blamed your spouse? When really it was the words that came out of your mouth? Do you know that your words have power to give life and they have power to give death? Watch this, Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has the power of life and death." Come on, let's read that together. "The tongue has the power of life and death." The words we speak are either life-giving or life-taking. The words that come out of our mouth are either life-giving or life-taking. You can change the life you have by changing the words that you speak. Now, this is a principle that I got early on when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful someone taught me about the power of my words, the power of your confession, and the power of your confession lining up with God's word. Because this, my friend, is the absolute truth. This, my friend, has the final say in your life and my life. And so when we learn that our words have power, when we learn that God's word has power, we can begin to line up our conversation, our words, with what God already said about us, and we can see supernatural things take place in our life. This is not easy to do, okay? But most of the things in this book are not easy. God never said, hey, give me your life and everything will be roses after that. No. It's going to take discipline. Come on. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take being a true disciple of Jesus Christ and saying, I need to change. And if you're at a place where you're like, I don't need to change, then that's a whole nother message on pride that we'll deal with sometime in the year. Because I need to change. And I'm always, every day, watching my words, and I fail a lot. I've failed this week. I've had to apologize to my kids this week, certain things that I've said, my wife. And you know what? It's something that we're always going to be working on. Our words have power. They have power. Let's go to the New Testament. James 3, verse 3 through 5. Look at this analogy James uses. We can make a large horse go wherever he wants by the means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Watch this. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Some of you have been starting too many fires lately with the words of your mouth. I know what you're thinking. What does this have to do, Pastor, with breakthrough? It has everything to do with breakthrough. It has everything. If the Bible says, we just read it, we are snared. We are in a trap. We set our own trap by the words that we speak. Then that means that we can hold back the breakthroughs that God promises us and that God wants to give to our lives. All by the words that we speak. The power is in the words. We make a choice every day. Are we going to speak life-giving words or are we going to speak life-taking words? I can look at two different marriages and I can look at a marriage that is struggling. And then I can look at a marriage that is strong and flourishing. And I can look at the struggling marriage and I can do a word audit with that couple. And I can tell why they're struggling. Because of the words, the daggers they throw at each other, the insults, come on now, the criticisms, the nitpickers, always picking at somebody because they're not as perfect as you. I came to preach. I feel better. I just want you to know. It's about to get crazy up in here. Huh? And then I can look at a marriage that is strong and I can hear life-giving words. I can hear encouragement. I didn't say perfection, but I hear people lifting each other up, building their spouse up. Why? Because your words give life or your words give death. Let's continue reading. Proverbs 12, 18. Solomon talks a lot about it. I told you. By the way, a proverb a day keeps stupidity away. If you want to do something new this year, take one proverb. There's 31 proverbs each day and read that proverb. That'll help you get the stupidity out. Helps me. Proverbs 12, 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings what?
Healing.
Wow. You mean my words can bring healing? You better believe it. I can't tell you how many times that my wife has spoken words over me that brought healing to me when I was at my lowest. Words of encouragement. Words of lifting me up. When I didn't feel like getting back up, her words brought healing to me. Look at Proverbs 15, 4. I'm moving quick because I got a lot of content, not enough time. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Crushes the spirit. They used to say this when I was in grade school. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Liar. That's a lie. Words hurt. Words can cause damage. Words, the Bible says, it's like a sword. Come on. It's like the piercing of a sword. Words can pierce you. Words can wound you. Or words can bring healing to you. They can bring healing to you. How many of us have spoken words that crushed someone else's spirit? Or how many of us were the recipient of those words? Maybe growing up, all you heard was negative, toxic, discouraging, beating you down kind of words. You'll never be enough. You'll be just like your father. He was an alcoholic, and his father was an alcoholic. Just get used to it. That's the way our family will always be poor. You'll always struggle. You're stupid, just like everybody in this family. You'll never go to college. You'll never be anything. Words that crush people, words that some of you have held on to for decades. You don't forget those words, because words hurt. Words crush you. On the other hand, life-giving words can lift you up. Man, you're doing a great job. Hey, I want you to know that I am so proud of you. I want you to know that you made a difference in my life. I want you to know every time you're fulfilling your God-given purpose, you are making a difference in somebody's life. I want you to know your smile is contagious. I want you to know your outfit is on fleek. I don't even know if we say that anymore, but I just did. How you like that online? I'm thankful God put you in my life. Yeah. Now, think about it. Think about the relationships you're drawn to and the relationships you want to run away from. The relationships you're drawn to are the individuals. Example, you come into a church like this, and you come in and you see so-and-so, and you know that every time you see so-and-so, that they are out to drain you with their half-glass mentality. They're pessimistic. The sky is falling, Chicken Little. And you know, you do everything, even though they're by the coffee and you need to get the coffee, you're like, I'm good. But then the opposite, when you see somebody that you know every time you're around them, they rub off on you, that they speak words that are life-giving, that they're always encouraging you. Come on now. That they're always lifting you up, that they always are seeing the best in you, not the worst in you. Come on now. You run to those people. You want those people to speak into your life. We got to be careful with our kids. He's a brat. He's a brat because every 5 minutes you call him a brat. He struggles in school because you tell him he's stupid. They struggle with their weight because you tell them they're fat and they're ugly. Am I talking to anybody? And we're speaking these words over our children. We speak these words over our spouses. We speak these words that produce life or death. We speak these words over children who carry them with them their whole entire life, and we don't realize we're so reckless, like the scripture said, with our words. And we can never get those words back after we speak them. We can never get them back. It's kind of like this tube of toothpaste. Imagine these are your words. And you're speaking these words, life-taking words, words that bring death and confusion and toxicity to the environment that you're in. And we speak them, and then we realize the harm they do, and we say, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And we try to put them back in. But we can't. They're already out of our mouth. They're already fulfilling its purpose because God gave you power in your tongue. We just read it. The power of life and death are in the tongue. And those that speak those words, life or death, will eat the fruit thereof. You will live in the future of the words that you speak. You can't put them back in. And what does it do? It creates this mess. doesn't it? So our homes are messy because we don't even know where to start speaking words of encouragement or affirmation over our family, our kids, our marriage. We don't even know. It's been so long since we encouraged somebody in our house. It's been so long since we complimented them. It's been so long since we told our spouse they look beautiful. We don't even know where to start. It's been so long that we encouraged our kids that where do we start? And our home is messy. And our lives are messy all because we're ensnared. We're trapped by the words of our mouth. I want to encourage you to speak words of life over your children, over your spouse. You don't speak the words that they currently are right now. You speak to your kids and your spouse to what you desire and what you see in them to become. I'm going to speak to their future. I'm going to speak to who God says they are. And some of you are wondering why your marriage is broke, busted, and disgusted. Come on, somebody. Because you put down. You're a nitpicker. No one's ever perfect. No one ever does it right like you. And so we got to pick at the scab. And we pick at it. And when you keep picking at a scab, it never heals up. It never heals. Are you all good today? I know you're all good online, right? You feeling good? So we speak these words. We got to start speaking words of life. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, are you speaking more life-giving words or life-taking words towards others? Answer it in your mind. This week, did you speak more life-giving or life-taking? And then the second question is, are you speaking more life-giving or life-taking words over yourself? Because sometimes we are our worst enemy. The greatest enemy is my inner me. And sometimes I'm the hardest on myself. I know I am. Sometimes I beat myself up and I'll catch myself and I'll say, Jacob, stop. Right? Jacob, stop. And in our house, we have a saying. And so forgive me if this is a little too much for some of you, but we say, you got diarrhea of the mouth. And we call our family members out, and kids call me out because sometimes I don't get it right. So you got diarrhea of the mouth. Shouldn't be speaking those words over each other. Shouldn't be speaking those words over yourself. You should be speaking life-giving, encouraging words. So here's two powerful truths that I believe if we could grab this today, that this is a step towards our breakthroughs. Come on now. Come on, how many believe in God gave us a word that this year is going to be a year of breakthrough? And I am telling you with all my heart, I believe this, that we are going to break through in many areas. No matter what happens in culture, in our world, and in the news, we can experience breakthroughs. We are not of this kingdom, y'all. And so as we press in these 21 days, I am praying for you. Our staff is joining every day at noon. You're welcome to join us in this auditorium as well from 12 to 1. These doors will be open, and we are praying for breakthroughs in your life. But it starts with our words. Amen? So two powerful truths about life-giving words. Number one, if you can't say something helpful, skip it. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, skip it. Look at your second choice neighbor. They were your second choice. And say, skip it. Skip it. If you can't say something helpful, skip it. Now let's look. Ephesians 4:29. Look at this scripture. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Notice what Paul says. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. The only thing you should let out of your mouth are those things that are helpful, to encourage, to build others up. This one verse, church, can change your year. Right here. This verse right here, if you struggle with speaking words of life, if you struggle with always being negative, always seeing the glass half empty, always when the storm comes, circumstance comes, then, you know, 100 other things are wrong in your life. Come on, you know what I'm saying. You know the individual, when they get a little splinter, they turn it into like something huge. Everything's wrong. If you struggle in that area, this is your scripture for this year that you need to post on your fridge. Come on, somebody. On your mirror. This is it. This is it. And maybe in these 21 days, some people need to do a word fast. I was thinking about this. Like, some people struggle with their language and they curse a lot, right? And I just believe, they say it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. So I believe if you do a word fast, that you can clean your mouth up a little bit. Pun intended. By the way, if you didn't get a chance to brush your teeth, we have this available in the back at the end. Because I know there's some of you. God bless you and your family. Everyone's welcome. Even bad breath people. But maybe for you, it's hard to break that habit of cursing. Here's your scripture. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So maybe you do a word fast, or maybe you're always putting others down. You kind of got this self-righteous thing, and that's magnified during the fast. Yeah, some of you get that later, but that's magnified during the fast if you struggle with self-righteousness, because now you're really digging in, and then you tend to think you're better than others because you're doing more in the fast. No, you just do what God tells you to do. This is not a competition. Just do something. Silence your flesh, right? Silence your flesh. That's the whole point of everybody can fast something. You say, well, I have a medical condition. I'm on meds. And I understand that. Consult your doctor. I'm not asking you to do anything against your doctor, but you can fast a Diet Coke. Come on. You can fast a Twinkie. You can fast watching TV. You can get off of social media. Everybody can do something. Now, your flesh isn't going to like it. It's going to scream just like mine does, okay? And so for some of you, every year, you don't participate in this, and every year, you don't see breakthroughs in your life. And so as a pastor, this is my job to encourage you and to push you a little bit and to say, there's more with God. He's never left. It's just we've cluttered the connection. We talked about that on Thursday. Because prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. And so the combination of two are a supernatural force found throughout Scripture. And so I just want to encourage you. Maybe you're going to do a word fast. Maybe you're always hard on yourself. And God is saying, that's not what I said about you. You're not lining up with what I said about you. Huh? So the first thing, if you can't say anything, something helpful, do what? Skip it. The second one, if you think something good, say it. Say it. Say it. Now let's look at the scripture, Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Notice it says gracious words. It doesn't say gracious thoughts. Gracious words. So therefore, you got to take that thought when you think of something good and you got to speak it. It's got to come out of your mouth to that individual. And for some of us, that's hard to do because of a bad learned behavior. We were never around people who complimented each other. We were never around people who spoke words of life to each other. We were the opposite. And so it's going to be a challenge for us to say those words. It's going to feel weird at first to compliment your spouse, to say she looks beautiful, to say he looks handsome, to say I'm very proud of you. Thank you for being my spouse. It's going to be difficult to say that over your kids. But as you get into that rhythm, as you start new habits, it's going to become your life. It's going to become common to you. My wife and I have endeavored to speak life-giving words. Every day we intentionally speak those words over our kids and over each other. Do we always get it right? No, Tara does not. I'm feeling better, y'all. I'm feeling better. I'll drink to that. It's water. But as we start to, we're going to get better at it. And we're going to see the atmosphere of our homes change. We're going to see it. Speak to what you want your marriage to become. And work on you. Be the best you can be in that marriage. be the best you you can be instead of nitpicking at the at your spouse. Be the best version of you you can be and improve you and watch what God will do in that marriage. Okay? Building up others. Building up others. Says it causing healing to come. I wonder how many of us are sick emotionally. Wonder how many of us are sick physically because of words spoken over our lives that we believed. Some of us put more faith in the words of a friend or a family member than we do the word of God. We put more faith in what they said 20 years ago. You're ugly. And we never got that out of our mind. And every time we look in the mirror, those words rehearse. You got a big nose. You got big ears. Come on, huh? And we never forget them. We never forget them. But yet, God wrote a whole book, 1,166 pages, 66 books, over 6,000 promises for you and I. And he says, hey, these are for you. These are for you. But you got to believe that they're for you. And you got to speak them out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. They got to be spoken. If you want to see it, you need to say it. I said, if you want to see it, you need to say it. What do you believe in God to see in your life this year? In your marriage, in your finances, in this church, spiritually? What do you believe in? You need to begin to say it. This 21 days, you need to begin to say it. Write down your prayer objectives. Write down what you're believing God to do. And you need to speak it for 21 days. This is what my marriage will become. This is what my finances, this is what how my business is going to explode this year. You're going to say it. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to get sick like everybody else. This pandemic's never going to end. There's a new variant. Come on now. What are you saying? Oh, you're lining up with what the news said instead of the good news. That's what you're doing. There's a higher source. There's a higher source, y'all. And I think a lot of us in these last 2 years are just lining up with what they're telling us instead of what God has already told us. What you think determines what you'll be, but what you say determines what you see. So speak what God speaks over your life, not what the devil speaks. Because every day, I can promise you this, church, every day, you're going to hear the words of the enemy, and you're going to hear the words of God. The choice is yours. What are you going to line up with? Are you going to speak what God says over your life? Or are you going to speak what your spiritual enemy speaks over your life? The enemy comes to you and says, you can't overcome this addiction. You will always struggle. You will always be a user. Are you going to side with that? Are you going to speak that? Are those the words that are going to come out of your mouth? Or is God's word going to come out of your mouth that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? I can overcome this. And let me just tell you this. If you're on your road to recovery, your primary identity is not your sin. It is that you are a child of the Most High God. Stop siding with your past sin. You are a child of God first who struggles with, you fill in the blank. I love the 12 steps. I love the 12 steps, but the confession part is off according to this word. You are a child of God. You have been set free by the power of God. Confess who you are. Confess who you are, not what you've done. You are not what you've done. Stop saying I'm an alcoholic. Stop saying I'm a drug addict. You're giving power to those words. Oh, come on now. Somebody back me up on this. You're giving power to that past. The past has no power because Jesus Christ has set me free. I am a child of God. I am the God's son or daughter who has been free. I'm free. Devil tells you always struggle in your finances. You need to line up with God's word that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. What are you going to say this year? What are you going to say this year? And the devil says, you'll always be sick. You'll always be in pain. You'll always struggle. You need to declare, by the stripes of Jesus, I am made whole. I'm siding with God's word. The devil tells you your kids will never serve God. They'll always be living for the devil. They'll always be struggling in sin. You need to declare, no, my household, my whole household shall be saved. My whole household, the word says, shall be saved. The devil tells you, yeah, you ain't got no purpose. Yeah, they talk about purpose at church. All you ain't got one. You can't make a difference. Yeah, right. Look at your track record. Look what you've been through. You need to declare to the devil God's word that says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a future. Devil tells you your marriage will never change. Just give up. You need to declare what God has joined together. Let no man put under. I'm going to start confessing God's word. I want to change my life, so I need to change my words. Let's start speaking life-giving words this year. Let's guard our tongue that we may not sin against it. Let's guard our tongue. Snared by the words of our mouth. Breakthrough starts when we line up with God's word. Breakthrough starts when all hell breaks loose in our life, but yet we say, we have some news here. It's called the good news. We have a word here that is true. We have promises that God said are yes and amen for you that believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe God's word above your circumstances? Do you believe God's word above current culture? Do you believe God's word above the news? I'm not sure if all of us do yet, but that's why you're here. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Because this year is going to be a year of breakthrough. As we guard our words, as we learn to speak life-giving words. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us the power of our words. Help us, each and every one of us, to guard our words. Help us to be more intentional about the words we speak to each other, about the words we speak about ourselves. Lord, we thank you. We believe that this is a breakthrough year. And if that is true, God, we know that it starts with what we say. It starts with what we say. You said in your word, say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. And you said we would have whatever we say. So, Lord, we begin to line up with your word. We catch ourselves this week, today, when those negative words try to come out of our mouth, those toxic words try to come out of our mouth. We catch it. We say, nope, I'm not going to say that. We capture the thoughts before they turn into words. We thank you for giving us the strength and the power to do so. If you're here today and you're far from God, I want to say a prayer with you, a prayer inviting Jesus into your heart. It's the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. Not only the promise of eternal life, but the abundant life that God has for you here on this earth. He's got a better life for you. He does. The first step in that is surrender. Surrender your life to Him. First step is believing that He died upon that cross for your sins. He paid the penalty so you wouldn't have to. So all over the auditorium, watching online, if you're here, you know you're far from God. You don't have that relationship. You don't have that connection. Or you used to have that connection. You've fallen away for whatever reason. It would be our honor to pray with you today, inviting you into this relationship to follow Jesus. Not follow a church, not follow us, but to follow Jesus. You're here today. We're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to make you stand up. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in this room, say, Jacob, that's me. Would you just wave your hand at me? Thank you for those hands. Wave your hands. I'm ready to commit my life to Christ. I'm ready to be a disciple. I'm ready to change. I need something new. I need something fresh. Hands are still going up. I need something new in my life. I need a fresh start.
Yep, yep, yep.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Too many to count right now. Thank you, guys. Awesome, awesome. If you're watching online, raise your hand in the chat. We want to pray with you. We have someone right there ready to talk with you. We're so proud of you. Let's all say this prayer, church. Say, Jesus, today I receive you into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe you died upon the cross for my sins. I repent of those sins today. And I make you the Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Fuel Church, let's put our hands together and welcome our new...
Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with others. You could take a screenshot, post it on your social media, and tag us. If you ever have the opportunity, we'd love for you to join us for one of our weekend gatherings. For more information on our locations and service times, please visit us at thefuelchurch.com. We hope this message inspired you to take your next step in your faith journey. See you next week.